God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Being away for a couple of weeks took me out of the rhythm of the lectionary. I trust that Pastor Al and lay Pastor Steve were able to guide you through those days and those stories, but I feel like I've been out of the story just a little bit. As we jump back into the story, at least for me today, Jesus is in teaching mode. Parables. They're Jesus' favorite way of teaching.
Excuse me a minute, I'm going to grab this so I can switch the slides. There we go.
Parables. They use familiar settings and props and characters while introducing themes that break the norm of typical thinking. Jesus says over and over, the kingdom of God is like, or as I'd rather think of it, the reign of heaven is like. Parables are meant to be both ordinary and extraordinary, both familiar and shocking at the same time. Last week, under lay Pastor Steve's faithful tutelage, as I said, you heard the well-known parable of the sower, sometimes called the parable of the seeds and the soils. In that parable, Jesus predicts that even though thorns and rocks may hamper the hopes of a good crop, because there is good soil, a place for many seeds to faithfully grow, a crop of as much as 100 times the expectation might be realized. Parables often exaggerate for emphasis, don't they? They'll present a comic book description of everyday events for the sake of making a point. And that point is almost always the abundant, lavish grace of God. Like Superman, who can leap tall buildings with a single bound, or the incredible Hulk, whose strength brings both destruction but also justice for the weak and vulnerable. The parables tell larger-than-life stories of normal people and the blessings received when life is ordered as Jesus wants it to be. So today's parable also seems to exaggerate the details for sake of emphasis. Where in the parable of the sower, seeds are unfortunately felled on less than ideal soil conditions, the seeds of this week's farmer are ruthlessly invaded by a hostile force. An enemy infiltrates the field of weeds, and weeds are sown so that the whole crop is in jeopardy. Now, I'm no stranger to weeds. Stop in and take a look around my backyard, and you'll see that the crop of weeds actually rivals the preferred grass that I'd like to see growing in some spots. But I'm under no delusion that there's some ne'er-do-well out there who sneaks into my backyard and secretly plants weeds in my yard. No enemy is out there trying to ruin my crop of green grass. Grass that isn't really green altogether. But rather, weeds, well, they just happen, don't they? Weeds, it seems they live within the soil and they're blown on the wind. And no matter how many, excuse me, how many pulling devices and chemical treatments we throw at them, the weeds always seem to have a trick up their sleeve and manage to continue to pop up. Jesus suggests, though, through the parable of the weeds and the wheat, that a good crop begins to grow, and then an enemy moves among that crop and maliciously germinates toxic nemeses to ravish the good plants and thwart the hopes of the dreams of the farmer. Will the crop be ruined? The listener is meant to ask. Like so many stories before and since, this might be a traditional tale of good and evil, black-clad villains and white-hatted heroes. But I wonder if it's not more nuanced than that. I think Jesus is a little more clever than John Wayne. As noted before, Jesus introduces this parable using his characteristic phrase, "The reign of heaven is like." So, of course, this isn't about weeds at all. It's not even about some generic story to pass the time on a hot summer afternoon at the drive-in. This parable is about you and me. It's about what happens in this new reign of heaven's glory here on earth that comes about whenever Jesus is near, when God's very self is planted and grows in the fields of our lives. Most of the time we think of the weeds and the wheat that Jesus talks about in this story as individuals in our world. Are you a wheat or are you a weed? Are you one of God's good crop or are you the product of the evil one? Or who are the weeds growing among us who are such tender, innocent, good, and faithful plants in the field of the Lord? This way of thinking is dangerous. It's dangerous because it forces us to not only label others in our world as evil, but also to position ourselves in the category of the good and perfect planting of God. A moniker that none of us can truly live up to. How much damage has been done throughout the centuries because some people determined that they were the chosen people of God and that everyone not able or willing to conform, submit, convert to the idealized form was something else and therefore deserving of nothing but the burn pile. And what a pedestal we put our friends and neighbors upon, even ourselves. Promises of purity and standards of performance. In church, we sing songs like "Jesus loves the little children" and "Amazing Grace," but ask the likes of a pregnant teenager or a homeless alcoholic when the church really cared how far they fell. If we classify the wheat of Jesus' parables as the good people in the world and the weeds as the ones tempted and used for evil by the powers of darkness, then we only perpetuate a system that rewards the powerful and oppresses the weak. We must hear in Jesus' words the reality that the field wherein both good seed and weeds grow, it's not out there somewhere in the world, but it's inside our hearts, in our souls. Now, I know that the verses in Matthew say that Jesus himself tells the disciples, the field is the world where the good seed are the children of God and the weeds are the children of the evil one. Two things. Stay with me. With all due respect to the Son of God, that's one perspective. In fact, it's what people in the first century think they remember Jesus saying in reference to this parable. And like today, people in Jesus' day were pretty prone to making themselves the wheat and others the weeds. But more importantly, even when Jesus says the world, he probably isn't thinking about it the same way you and I are. For us, the world is the earth, right? It's this planet that we live on in the midst of a vast and ever-expanding universe. When Jesus spoke of the world, he didn't think of it that way. Jesus didn't experience the earth as a planet, one among many. For Jesus, earth was this space And more than that, this experience, the lives of humanity and all of God's creation together as we experience it all as one. Jesus says that the field of the parable is the world, not a place, but an experience, a relationship. Think of the way we use the word family and home and even church. Those things can exist in certain places, but they're more than a place. We even say that family and church, it's wherever we gather with those people. And home is where the heart is. Jesus' world and the wheat and the weeds that grow in it is in our hearts and our minds and in our experience and our relationships with one another. And the good seed that has been planted in and among us, well, it's the love and the care that we share with one another. It's welcoming others into the activities of our lives through the scriptures and prayers and acts of love that we do for one another and for our community. The wheat of God's good field is growing among us because God has blessed us and given us so much to be thankful for. But there are weeds among us too. Weeds of words misspoken or painful rift between folks of differing perspectives. There are weeds of self-righteousness and judgment of people who don't look like us or believe like us or love like us. There are weeds of resentment when changes are made or when we don't always do our favorite things. In this world of God's field, with good and destructive weeds, spreads out through our human experience. It exists in our world as racism and nationalism, wealth inequality, and fear and oppression of others. Which is why it is so unbelievably remarkable that Jesus' solution to this quandary of the good seed and the weeds growing dangerously together in the same field of this blessed world that God has given us, Jesus' solution is to let the plants grow together. Let the weeds occupy that space for now. Don't rush in and pull them out. One of Martin Luther's famous quotes is simply, "Sin boldly," right? Now, he's not advocating sin so much as he's recognizing the truth of the good seed and the weeds growing in the same space together. Sin boldly, Martin Luther says, rather than rushing in to somehow eradicate that sin, which is something only God can do. Full quote is actually something like, sin boldly and trust God all the more to do what God does best. God loves sinners. Again, don't take Luther's words too specifically. The choice is not to sin intentionally, but to know that we all live as good seed among the weeds, and also, yes, my friends, it's true, as weeds among the good seed. Look around. Is anyone purely righteous? Is anyone truly evil? Or are we together, as one body, the saints and sinners of God's blessed field? Are we not called to trust in Christ more than any effort or merit of our own making? And can we trust that God is at work in us? Not to destroy us because there are weeds in our hearts and our minds, but Can we trust God to love us and all of this mixed up world? And can we find a way to share in this work of God, to love a sometimes unlovable world, but also to see the good seed growing among us, growing among the weeds, and nurture those seeds all the more? In the end, we have only to trust God that even the weeds that are growing in our bodies and souls will be harvested in such a way that forever, in God's reign of heaven, we will shine like the sun and give hope to all who proclaim the love of God. Like I said, the joy of the parables is the exuberant excess and abundant lavishness that is God's gracious and unending grace.